Ironhead Baptist Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, the 25th of October 2020. Hello and welcome, thank you once again for joining me. My name's James and I'm the web guy here at NBC. This week Richard spoke on Do Not Be Anxious About Anything. And the reading is Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. So we'll go and join Richard as he's introducing the service.
Good morning and welcome to our service this morning. It's lovely to be with you. On one of those days, I like to think of, please let my phone have changed the time so I know what time it's meant to be. But it's great to be with you this morning. And I was slightly concerned this morning at 7 o'clock that I'd be saying on this rainy and miserable day, but the sun has come out. And it's a quite beautiful day, I think, today. So let's pray now. Father, we come this morning to worship you. Wherever we are, whether we're here or watching online, still our hearts, Lord, and let us hear you speak to us today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. No one has told me any notices that are different from the notice sheet, so they are as they are on the notice sheet. And so let's now bring ourselves before the Lord in worship as we join with Roy and Jenny as we sing, Lord, I come to you. And a reminder that you can stand and have a dance if you'd like, but just within your seating area. So let's sing, Lord, I come to you.
Today is Bible Sunday, and so I've been asked to lead a prayer for Bible Society, and after that, Paul will bring some prayers as well. And just a little bit of an introduction for those who don't know. Bible Society is one of 155 Bible societies around the world. It was the original one, and it produces a variety of Bibles. Youth Good News Bible was the one they did last year. A dyslexia Bible they've got, and an audio Bible for visually impaired, and visual Bibles for those who can't hear. And they do their latest thing is an on-course Bible course that's been very popular over the lockdown. And Open the Book that operates in schools. So if you want to know anything more about that, go on their website or have a word with me. And you will see at the exit there are some magazines called Word in Action. If you don't already have them, you're very welcome to take one. James has very kindly downloaded one to go with the news sheet, so you may already be have read those. That's good. That's great. Now let's come to prayer. Thank you, Lord, for the Bible. Thank you, Lord, for your living word that opens up the door to the word, the living word, your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for those who translate and distribute it. Thank you for those who teach and preach it and comment on it. Thank you that through your written word we find the living word. May those who translate do so accurately. Please protect those who distribute it, especially in countries where it is difficult to be a Christian. Help us to value the Bible by reading it, applying it, and may people find you a saviour as they read. In Jesus' name, amen.
Friends, we continue in that attitude of prayer, reminding ourselves that God's word is truth. and that God is true to his word. And the reality is, as we have declared this Sunday by Sunday, our God is still God. He is still in control. Nothing can shake him. No man, and certainly no virus. And so we come before our Lord with prayers of intercession to pray that the God of all may be known to all. I invite you, whether on live stream or here, to pray with me. Let us pray. Keep us, good Lord, under the shadow of your mercy in this time of uncertainty and distress. Sustain and support the anxious and fearful, and lift up all who are brought low. We pray for those throughout this country who face further measures of lockdown this morning. Lord, you are the one in whom our hope and our trust is placed and is founded. And on you we will trust. And we will, Lord, rejoice in your comfort, knowing that nothing can separate us from your love that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Lord Jesus Christ, you taught us to love our neighbour, to care for those in need, as if we were caring for you. In this time of anxiety, give us strength to comfort the fearful, your compassion in tending the sick, your assuredness in assuring the isolated, your love for loving those this world considers loveless, your ability to reach out for those who seem to have slipped from the world's attention. This morning we bring to you those places in this world where, in the midst of all of the problems of COVID-19, there is still war. And when our attention has been turned to this virus, many have decided to try to make political gain unnoticed beyond, they think, the world's attention. But not beyond yours. And so we bring you this morning, Lord, all of the world that is in conflict one with another, and we pray peace over this world. Peace that passes all understanding. We pray that the arms of destruction would be raised down and people would welcome each other, raising up their arms in peace one to another. May your love reign, Lord, is our prayer. And for your love and for your name's sake, God of compassion, be close to those who are ill, afraid, or in isolation. In their loneliness, we pray, be their consolation. In their anxiety, be their hope. In their darkness, be their light. Through the one who is light itself, who suffered alone on the cross, so that we may never be alone, who reigns with you in glory, and through his church reaches out to touch the world. Through the one that is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, over every world issue, every nation's struggle, every virus's outcome. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Friends, it's good to welcome, I'm going to say a familiar face, but everything familiar is familiar about Mark in many ways. We know him well. And if you didn't know him well, this is Mark. And he's got an amazing message to say to some of our young and not so young folk.
Good morning, everybody. You okay? Yeah? Everyone happy? People say my face looks better in a mask. I don't know what they're talking about, but I think I do. Right. If you're at home, all right, have you had an extra lie-in? Are you still in your pyjamas? Because for me, today is the first day of the holidays. All right? We are on holiday for a week. All right? One whole week. Okay? If you're not on holiday, I really feel sorry for you. But we are. It's okay. Right. Who's got keys? Brilliant. I've got keys. Look at them. There's a lot of keys on there. These keys do everything. Okay, so I'll just go through them. So I've got a key there. All right. That's for the office. Okay. That's to get me into the inner door before I get into the office. That's to get me into the church before I get to the inner door, before I get into the office. All right. That's to open up the door to the church, all right, or the sanctuary. Oh, this one. Where's this one? Oh, that one's the hub. That's the hub. That's the preschool. Hang on, what else have I got? Hang on. Oh, that's my home key. Okay. Oh, that's the mother-in-law's door key. All right. I'm doing it. Oh, that's the car key. I've got keys for everything. All right? And keys are great when you've got them with you, aren't they? Okay? They're no good if they're left somewhere. And if anyone... Lorraine's already looking at me and smiling. All right? Mark's really good at leaving his keys around. So quite often, I'll get home and go, where's my church keys? I need to go to church. And then I realise I've left them in church. All right? Which, as you can see, I need three keys to get to where I've got to go. They're no use. So if Pauline Westcott was here, she would say to you that Mark quite often rings her up and says, Pauline, can I borrow your key? All right? And then keys are no good if they're left around. Wouldn't it be good if we had a key, all right, for a happy life? Well, we do. God's given us a key for a happy life. And when I show you this, everyone at home, I don't mean a mobile phone. I mean the Bible, because I've got my Bible on my phone. He's given me a key for a happy life. How would it be nice to have a key that could open a door so you didn't have to worry about anything? Well, you have. It's in the Bible. The Bible says, don't worry about what you eat or drink, what you're going to wear, what you're going to sit, but seek first your kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. The key is to seek God first through his word. Then, all right, you'll get what's next. How would it be to have a key that would open up the future so you'd know what to do and what choices to make? Be good, wouldn't it? Well, you have. It's the Bible. The Bible says, in all ways, acknowledge God and he will direct your path. The key, again, is to seek what God wants first, not what you want. How would it be to have a key, right, that could open the door to your heart's desires? Well, you've got it. It's the Bible. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. The key is to delight yourself in God first. And then the desires of your heart will change and will come. Just like my keys, they are no use sat on my kitchen table. I need to carry them around with me. And just like the keys to happiness, it's no use having the Bible just hanging around on the bookshelf, on the coffee table, gathering dust. If you don't carry it with you and you don't use it, It can't open any doors. So like I've got it on my phone, I carry my Bible with me everywhere. So I'm looking at youngsters, because most of the youngsters in the youth club are all there. They've got it on their phones already. If you have not got your Bible on your phone, download it. Because you never know when you're sat in Costa, right? When you're waiting for your coffee to come to you for table service now, because you can't go to the counter, you could just sit there and open up your Bible. And God can open the desires of your heart and lead you to a happy life. Let's just pray. Lord, we thank you that we don't have to worry. We thank you that you give us the things that we need, not what we want. We thank you, Lord, that you are close because you've sent us your word. We thank you that you speak to us. We ask you, Lord, to help us to hear. Amen. Okay, they've just put a piece of paper down there. On screen, you couldn't see that. All right, but some little elf just walked along and put it down. All right? Okay, so our next song is, here we go, We Believe in God the Father. Okay, have a really good weekend, everyone. See you next week.
Jesus, Lord of all, name above all names. And I want to add, all God's people, even in a COVID-sensitive way, went,
Amen.
Amen. It is indeed. Amen and amen and amen. We're going to read scripture this morning. The words are taken from Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. They're part of the Sermon on the Mount. They are words, they are Jesus' words. They are precious words. And they are entitled in the NIV, Do Not Worry. Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you be worrying by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about your clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Thanks be to God for the richest blessing from his word. Friends, let's pray for Richard before he comes and he says, and he brings to us what God is saying about that subject of do not worry. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for Richard, for the man of God he is. I pray, Lord, that at this time you would touch his spirit so that he may respond to what you want to bring this morning. That you would remove from his lips everything that is not of you, and that you would embolden him with what is of you, so that we who hear may hear you and respond to the one who loves in love. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Paul. I've noticed as you were doing that reading that we appear to have received the same memo on how to dress this morning. Won't say any more than that. But do not worry. If I say that to you, what do you think? I suspect there are a range of opinions. Some of you, I'm sure, will think it's irresponsible not to worry and shows a lack of care about what is going to happen. And others of you may be closer to what Jesus is calling for in this passage. But it does go against our very nature not to worry. Some of us are better at it than others, I know. I'm not known for worrying. Some people might say I could do with worrying slightly more occasionally. And that's just mum. But then others have their whole lives overtaken by it. Many of you, in fact most of you, probably know that I moved here from my hometown of Warrington in February. For those of you who don't know, Warrington is between Manchester and Liverpool, so it's about 200 miles by road. And I remember having conversations with people in college who thought I was slightly mad and were amazed I was willing to move this far, not knowing anyone, or those I did know, not knowing well. And they were Christians, ministers. Don't even let me get started on the non-Christians I talked about it with, who couldn't possibly conceive of what I was doing. And in some ways, I probably had some right to be anxious. When I moved down here the first week of February, I still technically had nowhere to live. Paul and Lorraine had to put up with me for a week, and they just about survived, I think. But that would be enough to worry anyone, surely. But I could truthfully say that I was not that anxious. I would be lying if I said there was none. But I truly wasn't. And why was that? Some of you, I suspect, will know the answer to this. But it's because I was certain that this Minehead was where I was being called by God to be. I want to share with you an image I had last year and I'd forgotten about until the summer. But as I was praying about where I was going to move to and where my placement was going to be, I remember very clearly having an image of a white church on a corner of all things. And we could probably debate whether we're truly on a corner, but there is a bit of one out there. So we'll take it. But I knew that God had a plan. There were moments, of course, where I did perhaps slightly wonder what I'd got let myself in for coming to Minehead and having to work with Paul and Mark. And we won't even talk about what happened in mid-March. But I was able to do all this because of what Jesus tells us here. In verses 25 and 26, we see that God will provide for us. Even the lowest of birds is fed by God's grace. So what then for us as humans, who God has placed above everything else on earth? God cares for us so much that he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for us, to save us from our sins. We can never doubt then, surely, that God loves us and provides for us. To do anything else surely flies in the face of all the evidence we have. And Jesus here deliberately points to three things that could all too easily become an end in itself. What we strive for in life, food, drink, and clothes. We do need all these things. Yes, I didn't get to be this size by not eating. So this should not be seen as a command not to work, but rather as a call to recognize that God is above all things. And so just as he provides life, he will provide all the things we need in it. There is, of course, another reason not to worry, one that's very practical. And we find it in verse 27. Jesus tells us that being anxious and worrying won't extend our lives one little bit. In fact, I'm sure if we were to look at the medical evidence for stress and worry, it would show us exactly the opposite, that it is likely to shorten your life. So if nothing else, there's a reason not to worry. For all that we worry about things, we still fall short of what God is capable of. Here we see that God makes the wild grasses beautiful. But these wild grasses were only going to be used in the ovens of the people to cook with. They were to become nothing and turned into ash. And yet still they were beautiful. We live in a beautiful part of the world, and I have to admit to not having explored a great deal of it. But I'm always struck by one view in particular, and some of you may even know where I mean. As you drive back towards Minehead along the A39, a few miles before you get to Willerton, you come over a hill. And the whole valley, I'm getting some nods, that's always good. But the whole valley opens up before you. And when it's light enough to see and the hedges aren't too tall, it takes my breath away. Well, if you can't think of that, you can think of a stunning mountain view or a beautiful forest or the beauty of the sea. All these things of God's creation. But I'd want to place a bet that you never look at someone's clothes the same way. I might be alone in this, but I suspect I'm not. But when, if ever, have you ever looked at someone's clothes, no matter how expensive or fashionable they are, and had your breath taken away? Human ingenuity cannot come close to the beauty of God's creation. Possibly, I think the only human structure that does the same, and I'm not sure I'm allowed to admit this as a Baptist minister, are cathedrals. I love a cathedral, but built to the glory of God. But even they pale in comparison to the wonders of the nation. Or creation. We cannot provide for ourselves better than God can. Of that, I have no doubt. But then we need faith. Faith to know that God will provide. So I want to ask you a question this morning, or indeed whenever you watch this or listen to it. Do you have that faith to put your hand over your heart and say, truly, God, I believe that you will provide everything I need? I don't know the answer to that. I'm not sure I can say yes to that all the time. But I've been struck during this time of coronavirus, as we had church leadership meetings at the start of it, going, how on earth are we going to survive? Will me or Paul and I still have a job in 6 months' time? The answer at the time was yes, but it would have been so all too easy to spend time worrying about what was going to happen. But throughout that time, we were confident that God has a plan for this church and indeed the world. He will provide for us. And Jesus tells us that worrying about what you drink or eat or clothe yourselves in are things best left to those who don't follow him. Because we, as his followers, should know better. We should know that if we follow him, God will provide for us. Not knowing God means that you cannot have the certainty that God will provide. So it is only right then that you would be anxious about the things that we need to survive. But it becomes all too easy to throw yourselves before the altar of materialism, never quite having enough, and always worrying about what might disappear on you. But to that end, if you're listening or watching, or here in person, and you don't know God, or you're anxious, I know Paul or myself would love to speak with you and pray with you. Come and find us or get in contact, because we have a God who cares. And Jesus says some wonderful words here. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. I find these words absolutely awe-inspiring. And also a challenge. Because they show us and tell us what we must do, even though in the recognition that it is something we struggle to do. We can all too easily look away from God to sort out our problems. But we see here clearly that we must focus on him. To focus on God above everything else. And we can do this several ways. Mark has mentioned the Bible. And spending time reading the Bible and reading God's word is one way. But I would argue that the most important is prayer. During the week, in some college reading, which does prove I did some college reading, reading a passage on prayer, an author wrote, "Prayer ushers us into perpetual communion with the Father." Those words jumped out at the page at me. We have a God who wants to speak with us. The Creator of all has made a way for us to communicate with him directly. To enter into conversation with him so that we can draw closer to him and discern his will. Martin Luther, he of the Reformation, wrote this, "I have so much busyness I cannot get on without spending 3 hours daily in prayer," which is quite a challenge, I think, for most of us. But this goes against so much of how we think. If we see a problem, the first thing we want to do is solve it ourselves. But Martin Luther saw it differently. To him, drawing closer to God was the main object of his life. He and other great Christians throughout the ages viewed prayer not as a peripheral activity, something to be done when we feel like it, but as something that was at the center of their whole lives, imbued them with God's will. there is a challenge for us this morning to draw close to God and to put him at the centre of our lives. The lesser needs of the body must give way to the ultimate need to draw close to the Father, draw close to God, and put him first above everything else. And when we do that, God will provide. And it's not a fatalism, a what will be, what be, or a happy-go-lucky approach, but the sure and certain knowledge that we find in these words, that God will provide for us. But then the final verse reminds us that although God will provide, it's not a guarantee of life, a life without troubles and problems. We're never promised that. To follow Christ is a difficult path, one filled with joy and happiness, but also one filled with deep troubles. As it feels sometimes we set ourselves against the world around us and the norm of what takes place in the world. And all too easily we get distracted from it. So it's normal to be anxious. And I think even these great Christians of the past will have felt at points anxiety. But we must resist that impulse to give in to it and turn our attention to the world around us as a source to fix our troubles. And instead fix our attention on the Creator of all, God the Father, and put him first in our lives. Amen. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your words here. We thank you for the encouragement that they contain to not be anxious and not to worry about earthly things. We pray, Lord, that we would be able to focus, turn our eyes towards you, to eagerly seek, to listen and speak with you, to allow ourselves to do that listening, to hear from you, so that we know that what you want us to do. Secure in the knowledge that you will provide for us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I promised Mark I'd bring up the order of service, and I've forgotten to bring it up. So now, there we go. So we see this again, the song now. Who holds the heavens in his hands? And we know the answer now to be God. So let's sing, Who Holds the Heavens in His Hands?
Who holds the heavens in his hands?
I've forgotten quite how cheerful that song is. It's lovely to hear the clapping and the joy this morning. So thank you for joining us this morning for our service, wherever you may be. And if anything we've spoken about this morning speaks to you, please do get in touch with Paul or myself. Some words then from the ends of the letter to the Ephesians. Peace to the brothers and sisters, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. Amen. Thank you for joining us this morning.
To leave a comment, please go to minehead-baptist.com/sermons. Well, thank you once again for listening, and I'll speak to you soon.